will be the thrill of victory, the sensation of trampling on an enemy who is helpless. If you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever. The moral to be drawn from this dangerous nightmare situation is a simple one. Don't let it happen. It depends on you.
Difference between a hero and a coward. There ain't no difference. Inside, they're both exactly alike. Both scared of dying or getting hurt. But it's what the hero does that makes him a hero. It's what the other guy doesn't do that makes him a coward.
To protect the sheep, you gotta catch the wolf. And it takes a wolf to catch a wolf, you understand?
This is Ted Midward. You're tuned into A Stranger in My Own Land here on EurofolkRadio.com. We've got a show tonight where we're going to be talking about, a couple different events in the past, but we're going to be talking about a theme of the school shooting phenomenon, I guess, and gun control and the role that it plays in convincing the American public to disarm, which of course they have not been successful in convincing everyone to go along with that, but I would contend that is the, I guess, bigger reason of why, maybe why some of them happen, although maybe some of them happen independently, but why the media reacts the way it does and why they use it, whether real, staged, or fake, or a hoax, why they use it anyway to push what they want. And of course, the agenda is getting rid of the guns here in America. I have Pastor Dan with me, and we're going to be talking about some of the events, like I said, around this bigger issue, some examples, and some other related matters, of course. But let me start off with, a couple paragraphs that I had written that I want to just throw out there kind of as a starting spot, the big picture as I see it. And it goes like this. The big picture here, the bird's eye view, is that the bad guys want to disarm America. And they know that they can't just come out one day and decide to take that giant leap of announcing that they're going to ban gun ownership. So what they decide to do is to manipulate terrible events like kids getting slaughtered at schools to get the public emotionally riled up to the point where the public demands that the guns be banned for the kids. The other angle here is that the establishment and the bad guys can use these attacks, this latest one in Florida in particular, to tarnish Trump and perhaps even twist his arm into supporting gun control. And if you think that's crazy, just remember Ivanka Trump lobbying daddy with the Syrian missile strike because, oh, the poor dead babies routine. Remember that one? The media, and CNN in particular, from what I've noticed over the past few days, is using this tragedy to pump gun control and probably gun banishment, right? I'm sure that's their goal. They're giving platforms to teenage survivors and mothers of victims that are demanding gun control, and I'm sure you've seen some of these already. As if, somehow, more restrictions on semi-auto rifles in particular is going to magically stop any event like this from happening in the future. The blame, as I see it, in this latest shooting falls on the FBI that failed to act on the threat of Nicholas Cruz, and there were plenty of warnings ahead of time. Stop and do some thinking about how this kid, this danger, just somehow slipped through their fingertips. Who benefits from this? What's most amazing of all with the FBI is that all the kids at the school who are getting airtime, who are giving speeches and getting on CNN, they are not even talking about how the FBI has already admitted that they botched this one and that they're somewhat accountable for it. The media has just whooped up the crowd into blaming Trump, blaming the NRA, and blaming Republican legislators and gun rights in particular. Now, of course, the bad guys, our enemies, have made this whole thing about semi-auto weapons, and semi-auto weapons has become the main issue because, in my opinion, the bad guys want to get rid of the semi-auto weapons that we have. They do not want us having semi-auto weapons against them. The best outfitted army on the planet is the American populace, more specifically, white males in America in particular. We're better equipped than the police and military. And the bad guys, of course, want to change that. So they stir up the useful idiot Goyim into supporting a move to ban semi-auto weapons. And you notice they bang this drum, and they have for years, about semi-auto weapons. The truth is, as you guys know, anybody with a bolt-action weapon could go out there and rack up a considerable body count, given enough time and in a nice position to do it from. So banning semi-autos isn't going to do anything. So why is the focus, why are the ignorant masses being pumped up about semi-auto weapons? Most of them don't even know what semi-auto means, and I would say it's because the commissar political officers in the kosher press are instructing them and pumping them to do this and getting them to believe that this is magically going to cure everything. So again, just to close out my big picture kind of view on this issue, you can clearly see how the bad guys use problem reaction solution in this instance. Since kids are being slaughtered in schoolyards, all of a sudden, even supposedly conservative people are turning weak-kneed on the Second Amendment. This is how the powers that be operate. They know how to get the public all riled up emotionally into becoming slaves. When you get all emotional, for the most part, your mind, your brain, your thinking capacity shuts down and does not function properly. We say and do foolish things that we often later regret. And I just want to close out with saying, what are white people going to do? You see what's happening overseas. You see what's happening in Europe and in other white nations. What are you going to do when you have nothing to defend yourselves with, nothing to defend your families and your property with? Once we lose the Second Amendment, folks, in my book, it's pretty much all over. You can hang up any sort of hope for a future, any of this kind of Americana stuff that you think you're going to have a future, you're going to do this. No, you're going to have nothing. And that's exactly why the bad guys want to take our weapons. Okay, that is the end of my kind of opening statement on this whole thing. Dan, by all means, jump in. Is there anything you want to add to that or any opening kind of caveats that you want to make?
Well, there's a lot of avenues we could go down on that topic. Many rabbit holes, both biblical and historical. Basically, everything you've said, of course, I agree with in spades, but it's all a staged event. Okay, the world is a stage. It's been said before, and it's also been said by some of the insiders. Nothing happens in the area of politics by accident. Everything is done for a reason. There are no coincidences. There are no accidents. Even that little faggot Jew, Rahm Emanuel, who was awarded the kingship of Chicago after he spent a year as the handler for Barack Obama when he was first elected, has said, don't let any crisis go to waste. Now, the little faggot didn't say who created the crisis, whether it was actually a mad kid under psychotropic drugs and mind control by the CIA, or was it elements of Mossad and CIA and some poor hapless kid who's under mind control is the unfortunate victim thrown under the bus to get our attention away from the real culprits who are in the CIA and elements of the Mossad, because they work together. The Mossad and CIA are like two sides of the two wings on the same bird. So, you know, here again, the old saying qui bono is Latin for who benefits. You know, every investigator friend of mine I've ever talked to said that's a standard mantra of an investigator. Is the very first thing on any investigation, any crime committed, is to ask who benefited, because 95% of the time or thereabouts, it will lead you to the culprit. Because people do things for a reason. This whole idea that there's these mad individuals and serial killers and everything just waiting to go out here and kill people, that's another mirage, okay? Because if there isn't a boogeyman for us to worry about, then we don't need high taxes. We don't need a gigantic central government. We don't need all of these SWAT and armed police swarming all over us, because society would be rather calm. I've asked many of my friends, I said, in the community you live in, how often is this stuff happening? Well, in my community, like never. I said, yeah. I says, but they sensationalize a singular event happening in a singular high school while there are tens of thousands of other locations, schools, etc., where nothing happens day in and day out. Some of them have armed guards in them. Some of them have kids bringing weapons to school like we did in the old days. There was never any violence. Back when I was a boy, you could bring a rifle or a shotgun to school and show it to people because it was a difference in culture. In fact, the governor of Kentucky the other day in an interview, I have to give him a credit and a shout out. He actually stood his ground and said, you people are making this a gun issue. It's not a gun issue. It's a culture issue. But here again, this is how they lead the narrative. We're all talking about this kid as if he did it. The kid didn't do this. It's just like Paddock in Las Vegas. Paddock didn't do it. They always get you veered off of the trail of the real culprit onto the trail of the patsy. It happens every time. Lee Harvey Oswald, same thing. Who actually pulled the trigger to kill Kennedy? Elements of the CIA and Mossad. Same culprits over and over and over. But they got Americans thinking that Lee Harvey Oswald did it. No, he didn't do it. He was the patsy. That's all. It's always the same story. This shooting in Florida is no different. What was going on in Florida? Florida was actually considering rescinding some of the gun laws and loosening them up, because Florida actually has some state representatives who have common sense and rational thinking. And they have thought about rescinding some of the draconian gun laws that were passed during the last staged event. And let's put our thinking caps on here, because most Americans have such a tiny attention span and they're very lazy. They don't research anything. How long ago was it that the Fort Lauderdale shooting happened? Do you remember that? Okay. What was going on in Florida the same week that shooting at Fort Lauderdale happened? And actually, it wasn't even a shooting. That one was completely staged. Nobody got hurt. There was no actual shooting. Okay, what was going on? The state legislature in Florida was voting on the reduction and reducing of the restrictions of guns in, I think it was federal buildings. I believe it was schools and something else. Okay, so here again, rationally thinking individuals in the state government said, you know, these laws are kind of ridiculous. They don't really affect crime. I think we need to throw them out. So what did the anti-gun lobby do? Stage an event. And sure enough, the quislings and cowards at the state government didn't even vote on it. It was all ready to go. There was all the support there. All they had to have is a final vote. It was a done deal. And everybody backed off of it because of the, quote, Jewish-controlled media putting out all this bad press because of a supposed shooting or attempted shooting at the Fort Lauderdale airport. So here again, fast forward a year later, here we are in Parkland, which is in a Jewish-controlled area of Florida, 50% Jewish, with a Jewish sheriff and a school named after a Jewess who hated the draining of the swamp. I mean, the symbology is all over this thing. But here's the main thing. It's none of their damn business. And I want to refocus everybody because, again, we're allowing the media and the Antichrist communists who have infiltrated this country to direct the narrative. Let's remember something here. Let's get back to basics, folks. Got to keep it simple for people today. Their IQ levels have dropped significantly. Let's keep it very simple. Here's what the simplicity is. Our rights don't come from the Constitution. Our rights don't come from a legislative body called Congress, the Senate, whatever. No bureaucrat has anything to do with my rights. No piece of paper has anything to do with my rights. My rights are God-given. I'm not going to give up my guns. I don't give a damn what any legislative body does because my God gave me the right to defend me and my family and my property. That's where the rights come from. The Constitution was written against our public servants. The Constitution is a contract that if you want to be a public servant, which means a sheriff, a police officer, a senator, a congressman, a governor, whoever, anybody in the public service arena, if you want to be a public servant in my state, you're going to take an oath of office to uphold the contract called the Constitution, which tells you to leave my damn rights alone. You don't have a right to legislate them away. You don't have a right to even debate them. It's a non sequitur. It's a non-issue. They don't have a right to take my God-given rights away. Let's focus on that. We got to keep bringing our people back to that, Ted. Focus on what really counts. These are God-given rights. I don't care what anybody in government or in law enforcement, the military, or the media has to say about it. And I sure as hell don't give a damn what the Jews say about it because they are the worst anti-gunners walking because they're communists. Now, when their ancestors took over Russia, they disarmed the Russians first, and then they slaughtered over 100 million Christian men, women, and children. Let me repeat that. Christian men, women, and children by the Jews. They're Christ haters. They hated Christ and murdered him. They're still doing it 2,000 years later. And that's why you look behind the gun control movement, as Ted Nugent did. All you Ted Nugent fans and rock music fans out there, go ask Ted Nugent what he found out when he started digging into who is it that's trying to disarm us. It's these damn Jews. And why? Because that's the communist modus operandi. Disarm the public that you're getting ready to subdue, enslave, and if unfortunately you're white and Christian, to butcher you, not just kill you. Go read the testimonies of what they did to the Russians back in the early 20th century when they took over Russia. I'll tell you, Ted, I could not finish the book I was reading. It was giving very graphic details of what these Jews did. And believe this or not, the worst perpetrators of violence and degeneracy against the white Christian men, women, and children were actually Jewish women. And who are some of the biggest mouths in Washington trying to take our guns away? Ugly hag Jewish women. Just like who was it that brought feminism to America? Ugly hag Jewish women. All right? So I couldn't even finish the book because it was making me ill. The very grotesque ways that they butchered the Russian people just about 100 years ago. So here again, if people don't want to pull their heads out of their rectums and smell the coffee and see what the hell's going on, they're going to suffer the same fate. What's that old saying go? If you don't study history, you're doomed to repeat it. Well, 100 years ago, the white Russians learned the big mistake of allowing the communist Jews to disarm them and take over. Lord forbid that the white Christian men, women, and children of the United States make the same mistake. And let me change that. The white men, women, and children of all white nations, because this assault and the attempt to disarm us is happening in every white nation. And I know I rambled on. I apologize, Ted.
No, it was great. You're talking about the book you're reading about the Red Terror Revolution in Russia. If folks haven't seen it, you need to go on YouTube. I believe I have it up on my channel. I was alerted to this some years ago, listening to Mark Kornke talk about it, The Czechist. It is a movie that was made in, I believe, the 80s, perhaps even early 90s, about the Red Terror Revolution. And you folks need to go watch that, and you need to spread that around to your Republican-voting, Second Amendment-supporting, and normie friends. You need to show them this. You need to show them, hey, here's what the Jews did to white Christian Russia 100 years ago. This is why we can never give up the guns. That's an excellent video. It's graphic. It's disturbing. And it... I generally don't like to push that kind of information just to be crass or crude, but people need to see it because it's shocking and it should wake them up, some of them anyway. That's a good one to push out there. I was listening to you speak and you hit on something, and this is something that I'm trying to get more information about in this particular shooting. Nicholas Cruz being proven guilty. Too often, because we have a 24/7 universal mainstream media in this country, anymore the mere accusation against you is good enough in the court of public opinion. It's just as good as a conviction. And we're already labeling this kid guilty, but we don't. Where's the forensic proof? Where is the nitrate test that he had gun residue from AR-15, 223, or 556 NATO? Shells, all those gases, where are the fingerprint tests? Where are the nitrate tests? How does this kid start a shooting that lasts for 3 minutes, and then an hour plus later, an hour 15, hour 20 minutes later, he's found, you know, miles away at, what, a Walmart or a Subway or someplace, and how did that cop on the other side of town know to apprehend this kid? There's so many questions here, and we can't just... We can't just turn off. We need to keep pushing these questions that you would ask with any kind of crime. Where's the proof that he's guilty? Where are the fingerprints on the rifle? Most importantly, where are the security videotapes of him doing the shooting? There ought to be at least one camera somewhere on the premises. Now, I do understand that in the southern states, in Florida in particular, that the schools are like open. It's not like... up here in Yankee territory where you go to a building and all the hallways to the classrooms are inside some main big building. So anyone could come in and come out. And of course, the question is, who did the shooting? Who's responsible? Some of the kids, some of the survivors are saying that they believe there are at least two shooters. So here again, we have this same trend from not only the Sikh temple shooting, back a few years ago during the Obama years, but also Sandy Hook. Someone said they saw someone in fatigues running through the woods. All these reports of the official story not adding up, we really need to push back on this and really grab that by the tail. And hopefully there's some people out there, maybe InfoWars will keep on this and keep tugging on it, and we'll get some more exposure like we have with this Las Vegas shooting that I think most people, I guess even Tucker Carlson, they're raising questions on Fox News. We need to keep pushing this because it's so obvious. And I guess this would be a good time for me to get into my speculation here about what I think happened. And again, I don't have all the facts and all the figures. I've just, like you have, Dan, I know a lot of these backstories. I know we've talked about the Oklahoma City bombing. There's these other incidents, and I'm going to wager, I'm going to speculate here that, it wouldn't be shocking to me if we find this out, that Nicholas Cruz was helped along to pull this off. Maybe he is the only shooter. Maybe he is a guilty party. But I want to know who was texting him. I want to know who he was talking to. I want to know if there was an undercover FBI agent that was goading him into this or supplied him with the weapons. Or maybe this FBI agent was the notorious Uber driver who dropped him off at the schoolyard. I think his handlers knew that the school would have a drill on this particular day and that they sent him in there as the dupe to either commit the crime or at least have him take the fall for it. That's how these intelligence operatives, these rats, work. They dupe stupid or retarded or even well-meaning patriotic people into walking into their trap and being a part of the big play. I think that if you dig deep enough, you'll find that this is similar to the story of a man who was arrested in August of 2017 in Oklahoma City. His name is Jeremy Drake Varnell. He was a retarded, schizophrenic, late teens, early 20s white male that was supplied with a vehicle and bomb material for another Oklahoma City bombing plot in August of 2017. Going back to another one that most people talk about, in Texas, Pamela Geller, this arch-Zionist anti-Islamic woman, she put together a little event in Garland, Texas called Draw the Prophet Muhammad, where they were going to draw outrageous pictures. And the story came out later that the two Islamic terrorists who went in and attempted to shoot the place up were texting with an undercover, either undercover or overt FBI agent that sent them a text shortly before the event and said, quote, tear up Texas. So you see, we got to know who is around him and if the FBI was pumping this kid, Nicholas Cruz, into doing this. I think that, like I said, this is my wager that we're going to find, if we dig deep enough and get enough facts about the story, that there were people around him, that they learned of this kid. He was in ROTC. They learned of his fragile state. It's been reported, it was on Drudge, that the sheriff's deputies there in Broward County had been called to this kid's house 39 times in the past 7 years. You think they weren't aware of this kid? So, people are saying, oh, the FBI dropped the ball. Oh, the FBI is incompetent. Oh, they need this. Well, hold on a second. Is it really incompetence when there's a pattern of previous examples, a long string of examples, where they are using these kids, using these people, these retarded people in particular, to commit crimes so that they can either arrest them on the spot and get the big notoriety for the FBI, or they're pumping these up to happen? I've said a lot, Dan. You go ahead and comment on what I've just said here.
Well, Broward County, we got to remember, first of all, they always pull these stunts in a favorable location where the locals will go along with it, or at least a good number of them. Okay, so we've got this Jewish sheriff who is purportedly guilty of some nefarious deeds during his career as sheriff. So in a 50% Jewish county, we've got a Jewish sheriff who's been known to be blackmailable or coerced. He's a strong Democrat and Hillary supporter. So you got all that going on in a county that is known in Florida for A, corruption, B, being very, very heavy into the sex slave trade and pedophilia. So there you go. What a better place to pull all this off than in an area that you know you've got, quote, friendlies who will help with the narrative, who will help with the cover-up. And like I said, they're already talking about the state of Florida with our corrupt government in Tallahassee going to provide money to the school to destroy Building 12, where this supposedly all went down. Here we go again, destroy a crime scene. Now, if I were in charge, everybody who has signed this document saying that they will support the destruction of a crime scene would be arrested. All right. This is a crime scene. It's not over yet. Just because the media has laid this kid as the sole source and all the blame, that doesn't make it for real, because these people are liars. We certainly have learned that much. These people lie about everything. In fact, the culprits in Washington, D.C. have passed so-called legislation that says it's okay to propagandize the American people. Well, that's just a fancy way of saying lie. All right. Now, first of all, anybody that signed that law should be arrested for treason. So we've got treason at the highest levels. And eventually the American people have to understand, if we want this kind of nonsense to stop, it's not gun control we need. We need a new government. We need every individual in our current state and federal governments fired and put under investigation by a military tribunal. And we're talking white hat, good guy military, not the bought and paid for. I'm trying to think of a proper term to use for these pieces of garbage that take bribes and are blackmailable that sit in our military, in the Pentagon and other places. But the good guys, you understand what I'm saying. So we take the provost marshal and we go and arrest every one of them and we put them on trial. And that's a good start. We got to get rid of all of them because this system is corrupt. Every judge, every county sheriff, every bureaucrat at the state and federal level should be arrested and then vetted by a military tribunal as to whether or not they should be released. And if they're found to be guilty, and in this case, everybody from the sheriff down, every school official has gone along with this, every mainstream media that has gone along with this, every attempt to disarm the American people, and most certainly every Israeli, because almost all Jews are dual citizenship Israelis. That makes them traitors. They're spies. Pretending to be Americans, they're actually spies, okay? What do you do with spies? So you arrest them. If they're found to be spies, you shoot them, all right? You execute them. That's what you do with spies. So if you want this to end, Ted, I mean, we can debate this forever. Nothing changes in this country. Do you ever realize that? You know, what's that old saying say? It says, if you keep doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting a different result, that's a form of insanity. The American public are insane. They keep electing the same people. They keep watching the same media. They keep expecting the same culprits to fix the problem when the problems are being created by these culprits in government and in law enforcement and in the military and in the media. So let's stop being insane. Let's do what the founding fathers told us. Let's do what the founding fathers wrote into virtually every state constitution, which says, if the state government no longer can provide for our safety, prosperity, and protection for life and limb, if they can no longer do the things that we formed the government for, it is our right and our duty to throw that either government form or the people in government out and start all over again. I think it's time for a reset. Now, Bill Holter, I respect Bill Holter a lot. He's usually on the X-22 report, but he is also on other YouTube channels. Bill Holter is primarily an economist, but he's got a very level head on him. He predicted that 2017 would be the year of the truth bomb, and I think he's right. He did that in January of 2017. I think most people would agree, Ted, 2017 certainly was a year for the truth bomb. Now, this January, he predicted that 2018 would be the year that truth matters. Now, in America, if the truth matters, we're going to see a lot of things happen in 2018. My personal prayer is that 2018 is the jubilee year for Christ's people. We need a reset. We need to start over again. We need to take the culprits and put them in prison and on trial. We need to execute those who have committed capital crimes, and we need to start over again. And we need to go and put everything back to the way it was in the beginning and bring peace and harmony back to this country. If we don't do that, we're on our way out. All right? This is only the beginning. The communists know that the people in this country are waking up, believe it or not. It's taken forever, but they are finally waking up. Most people are not watching the mainstream media. Most of my friends didn't watch the Super Bowl. That's the first time since I was a young man in the military that I've had that many of my personal friends say, I'm done with professional sports. They didn't even watch the Super Bowl. All right, that used to be like almost like a holiday in most of the homes. So people are waking up, which means that the communists know they're running out of time. And that's why these kind of events are going to continue to happen, because they have to get our guns. They can't do anything else until they disarm us. So every patriot should be aware of that. This is nothing more than the communist takeover of America And the very first thing that they've got to do is get us disarmed. They've already corrupted the money system. They've corrupted the government. They've corrupted the local government. They've corrupted the media. There's very little they haven't debased, but the one thing that they have not accomplished was disarming us. And that's the last straw. Once they get us disarmed, then they can just run right over us like they did the Russians 100 years ago. So that's the part we need to remember. That is what's behind all of this. Throw away all the rhetoric and emotionalism and all the tears. And they're all fake tears, by the way. I mean, anybody watching these news reports, I don't know about you, Ted, but I was in the military. And I've got friends who are on EMT squads and in SWAT teams and things like that. Anybody that's been around real firefights and real catastrophes can tell you there's nothing real about what these scenes are showing you. There's nothing real about them at all. It's just like the astronauts when they supposedly came back from the moon. If you go back and watch those YouTubes or those interviews, those guys don't look like somebody that just accomplished a breathtaking event like that. They look more like people that are on trial. That's because it's a big lie and a cover-up. Well, the same thing with this. If you look at them, it's all fake. I mean, supposedly 17 people are destroyed, and yet there's smiles on some of the people giving interviews, and they're pretty laid back. I mean, if there's one person that dies, most people are pretty upset when you're actually on a scene and there's a dead body there. Most people react to that. And right. You're talking about 17 plus others wounded. These people don't react the way that normal people would. It's all staged. And that's why we got to get over this emotionalism. Don't allow them to push your emotional buttons, which for our people, unfortunately, when our emotions kick in, our brains shut off. And they know that. That's the whole reason they do this. It's worked for them for decades. Let's let 2018 be the year that this silly, nonsensical emotionalism pushed by the media and the gun grabbers. Let's make 2018 the year that we turn it around on them. Instead of allowing them to push us around and manipulate us, let's take a stand and go after them. I think they need to be arrested because they're communists. My rights are my rights. My right to defend myself and my family come from my Heavenly Father. You bastards in government, and you little libtards and snowflakes out there, if you think you have a right to disarm me, then you come on over and try, okay? You try. Instead of trying to get the police to do your dirty work for you, why don't you come over and come to my door and tell me you have a right to disarm me? Let's see who the last man standing is. It's time for this nonsense to be put to bed. We've put up with these liberals, these communists, these Jews, and all these people trying to destroy the Christian constitutional republic that has been the United States. We put up with this crap long enough. It's time for the righteous to take a stand and tell these people where to get off. They need to be put on boats and shipped the hell out of here.
Well, I've seen those videos, and you know what? You're right. There is something. And let me just preface what I'm going to say. I'm not, I've really tried not to, like with Sandy Hook, I've really tried not to go to the extreme that some others have. And I guess most notably, like Jim Fetzer, he's written books, so nobody died at Sandy Hook. I can't prove that nobody died, so I'm very hesitant, especially now with me doing my own podcast and this kind of thing going on the record. I can't prove it, and if I really can't prove it, I really don't want to take a position, something like that, and I'd feel terrible if, you know, it turned out that kids did die, and then I'm out there being a jackass saying, oh, it didn't have this kind of thing. But these videos, like, you can see what you're talking about, Dan. These kids, I don't know if it's because we have such a media-obsessed country, and especially the youth now, where everyone wants to be an internet celebrity, everyone wants to be on TV, and it's mostly a subconscious thing and a body language thing, and you folks need to get good at picking this up and noticing body language in communication. Body language and nonverbal cues in communication are everything. They say it's the majority of communication is nonverbal, even when two people are speaking. if you watch these videos, you see these people, they shoot a grin, they shoot a smile subconsciously. I don't know if it's because, I hope it's because they think they're getting on TV and getting their 15 minutes of fame at the moment. I hope it's not linked to what others have pointed out is known as duping delight. There's a phenomenon that when you're pulling the wool over someone's eyes, you can't help but subconsciously grin or shoot a smile here or there, or you know, make these positive kind of facial expressions that show that you're really tricking people. There's a whole subject of duping delight, and it is a real thing that the mainstream media admits to, that people have given TED Talks on it, and people who are experts on body language, they talk about duping delight. I hope that isn't part of, I really hope that we're wrong in saying that a lot of this is stage managed. I really hope that this isn't the case, but it's up to you guys, the listeners, to decide whether I'm totally out in left field or there's something to what I'm saying. I've seen these videos, Dan, and like I said, I'm very hesitant on an intellectual level to call everything a spoof and a hoax and this kind of thing, just because it can be, well, you know, we're at a distance. We weren't really there, and I don't want to be slammed or flamed on the internet for doing something to where, you know, it doesn't make sense at the moment with the information I have. But gosh, I'm watching these videos, and even the blonde girl with the who's given the testimony, she's wearing some kind of black or gray sweater, and she's giving testimony about how she was with the shooter during the shooting, and she saw him. And she gives a grin and a smile like, I don't know, is she smiling because she's getting her 15 minutes of fame? Is she smiling? She's certainly not smiling because she's talking about her remembering people being shot up and killed in this school in a bloodbath. What is she smiling about? These are the things that really bother me, and I try to be middle of the road and objective, but maybe these people who are saying that these things are largely staged, managed, and hoaxes and fakes, I don't know, that maybe these people are right. After all, when I watch these videos with these people smiling and they're recalling about the shooting, I saw a teacher who was on CNN being interviewed, and he's standing there like a goofball smiling and joking about things. What the hell is wrong with these people?
Well, again, we don't know what they're being told. Just like the teacher that was interviewed just before we went on the air, I was watching a interview with a guy. I think he's in his 50s. His classroom is just down from Building 12. And it's very matter-of-factly. You know, this is supposed to be this horrific event that's still transpiring. There's cop cars and yellow tape everywhere. And yet he's given a very matter-of-fact report about what he heard and what his students are doing. And he talked about the fact that, well, you know, we had a fire alarm earlier today that went off. And we thought it was kind of strange that we have another one. Oh, and within the last 2 weeks, we've had police here, and they were doing active shooter drills. So we knew exactly what to say and do and all this stuff when this went down today. So, you know, in a way, they are laughing at us, you know. And here's the thing. What's the Bible say? There's a good verse that covers what you were saying, and I thought of it while you were talking. Their countenance witnesses against them. That's a biblical way of saying exactly what you just said. The twinkle in the eye, the smirk, the little laugh, the body language, their countenance witnesses against them. So while they're pushing the emotional buttons, and there's a lot of people in America that works on, I know people, they were crying crocodile tears, oh my God, 17 children, well, what are we going to do? And I just laugh, and they say, what are you laughing about? I'm going, first of all, you don't know a damn thing about what happened today other than what some idiot on the boob tube told you. And you're running around as if there's actually 17 bodies there. You don't know a damn thing about it. It'd be like coming out of a movie theater crying crocodile tears because there were 17 people killed in the movie. It's the same thing. They think just because the flat screen television, which is the image of the beast, by the way, the flat screen television is telling them, in some paid off hack, a prostitute newscaster, is telling them that somehow that makes this thing real. And that's just how stupid our people have become. They don't have any critical thinking at all. Every person I know that their brain still functions and they have an IQ above room temperature was saying exactly what you said. Well, wait a minute here. All we know is something went down. Why don't we wait till all of the evidence comes in, all of the testimony? Let's get some competent people there instead of these hacks, these political hacks like the sheriff. Let's get some real investigators in there and let's find out what the hell happened. And if we find any foul play, if we find any obfuscation or staging or coercing or setting up a patsy, those people are going to be put on trial. Now, let's remember something. This is a capital case, because if this kid actually had done it, his sentence would be execution. He committed murder. That means that anybody complicit in setting up a staged event like this that would get this kid convicted and executed is also a co-conspirator towards murder. Only this case, it's this kid Cruz that's being murdered by a shadow government with an agenda. Now, what do you think would happen, Ted, if we actually had a provost marshal and some real white hat military and they took over this investigation? Get these shills and political hacks and these prostitutes out of the picture. Let's go into town. Come on, guys. Come get me. I'll volunteer to be part of it. I've got military experience. I know a little thing here or there. I've got friends that'll volunteer to be part of it, too. Come, we'll go with you. And let's bring down the real culprits. I think that would be tremendous, Ted. Do you think the American people deserve to actually see the real culprits put on trial for a change? To find real investigators who know how to get to the truth instead of the agenda? To have a tribunal set up instead of a political courtroom that's run by our Zionist masters? Wouldn't it be wonderful to see an actual tribunal with a stated purpose of getting to the truth for a change? Oh, man, I think it would be wonderful. And I'll tell you, if that were to happen, I'll guarantee right now, I'll put $1,000 cash of my own money on a bet. Cruz didn't do it. He's the patsy. I don't know if anybody actually got hurt or not. It doesn't matter. It is a staged event. There were people in the know. There were people within the shadow government who were behind this whole thing. And if the truth ever comes out, there'll be them that swing from the end of ropes instead of this poor sap named Cruz, who's on psychotropic drugs and Lord knows what else, who just happens to be the fall guy. No different than Lee Harvey Oswald. No different than the guy in Oklahoma. What the hell was his name? God, it's escaping me. What was the patsy up there?
The bombing in 95 or the one?
Yeah,
that
yeah, that supposedly had the Ryder truck.
Oh, yeah, McVeigh and Nichols.
McVeigh, that's it, McVeigh, okay. I should know that because his brother lived right up in Michigan, not too far from where I lived at the time. So I knew a lot of the Michigan militia guys that knew the McVeigh family, okay? So here
let me,
again.
Let me stop you there just for a second since you bring that up. I got my hands on a copy of James Nichols, the brother of Terry. I got a copy of his book, and I have read the book in its entirety. I recorded it and put it up on YouTube for anybody interested. And I've been meaning to ask you, Dan, just it's something that's kept slipping by me. I meant to ask you if you knew of James Nichols and what you thought of him.
I never got to meet him. I just knew people that did know him, and that was when I lived in Michigan. It wasn't all that long after all that had gone down. So I got a lot of the inside scoop from the people that lived there, knew a little bit what was going on. And again, I didn't know him personally, but all we knew is, again, James was being set up, much like other people have been political prisoners, just like the survivors at Waco. The survivors right. at Waco were put in prison. For what? Why are they in prison? Why is the son of Gordon Call, who was murdered by marshals, why is he in prison? The only thing he's ever been guilty of is being the son of Gordon Call. And yet he's still in jail. Why? Because they don't want him out here telling the truth. Terry Nichols is exactly the same thing. He's the brother. He knows the truth. They don't want him to come out of there. It's just unbelievable, Ted. We need to open up the jail cells in this country and retry every single case. Because I'm going to guarantee you that there's probably about 70 to 80% of the people in prisons today are political prisoners. Or they're in there for something as completely stupid as smoking a marijuana cigarette or having a few ounces of weed on their pocket. I mean, ridiculous. Right. Ridiculous. We've got traitors in Washington, D.C., responsible for hundreds of thousands of deaths, and they're still walking? And we've got people in jail for a couple ounces of weed, a completely natural substance that's actually very medicinal? Never hurt a fly? Ted, we're insane. This country is completely insane. We have become what the Bible predicted. We've become the lukewarm church that's not worthy of anything of Christ. He will not even recognize us because we don't stand for anything. We're the lukewarm church who has thrown all sense and biblical law out the window to follow after mammon or money, and to worship the false god called Jews because they've got a prostitute down at their church telling them they're God's chosen people. Really? Are you kidding me? You people are dumber than rocks. You really are. And it says that when he comes back and we, speaking of the people in this country, walk up to Messiah, Lord, Lord, we did this in your name. We did that in your name. Oh, we're such good people. We go to church and we carry Bibles and we say Israel's to be protected and the Jews are God's chosen people. And they're going to see the fiery blue eyes of the Christ look at him and go, get away from me. I never knew you. You're a lying sack of horse manure. You don't know the right from the wrong. You've taken evil and called it good, and good and called it evil. You are a despicable people. You know, it's funny. They've got everybody thinking Christ is this hippie out there that just loves everybody. I guess they don't open their books to Luke chapter 19, verse 27, which makes it pretty clear what he's going to do to the lukewarm. When he says biblically that he'll vomit you out, that's another idiom. You need to look up the idioms. What did it mean 2,000 years ago when a man was speaking in the Aramaic tongue when he said he's going to vomit you out of his mouth? Do you people even have a concept what that means? You make him that ill. You pious, hypocrite, insane lunatics listening to this filth and this garbage and allowing these people to continue to live and walk amongst us when they should be either in prison or hanging from the ends of ropes, and then to sit around and bitch about the way the country's going. And yet it's going that way because you believe this garbage. You accept these lame excuses, and you don't do anything to support the people trying to make it right. I can't wait till he gets back, Ted. I'll have to be honest with you. I can't wait. Not for me so much, but because I want to watch what happens when these lukewarm, milquetoast pansies get told right where they stand. When they actually see his blonde hair and blue eyes, because he ain't no Jew, and he looks at them and tells them where they're going to get off. They've wasted their time trying to impress him and everybody else with their pseudo beliefs, like the Tom or the John Hagees and the Jimmy Swaggerts and Kenneth Copeland and all of these other charlatans and quacks. I can't wait. I want to have a bottle of champagne and a bag of popcorn there because it's going to be entertaining as hell to watch these people squirm when he stands in front of them and says, I want an accounting. Can you imagine that? That's why it says it's going to be better for the guy down at the local bar sipping on a beer, minding his own business. It's going to be better for him in that day than these pious, pompous hypocrites. Back to you, bud.
Boy, you hit the nail on the head, and gosh, I really can't add anything to that. You just laid it out perfectly, and folks out there listening, I don't know how to say it much better than that. This whole Israel and the Jews thing, and like you said, Jew worship in these churches, that's exactly what this is. They are worshiping Jews, not worshiping Yahweh God. And I try to point this out on a lot of shows I do, even the non-CI shows, or if I have a guest that's really not into it. You know, guys, we've blessed the state of Israel. We've blessed the Jews since, what, 1947, 1948. The USA has blessed the Jews in ways that cannot even be accounted for, ways that we cannot even measure. I'm not even talking about the state of Israel. I'm talking about Jews as a collective people and as citizens of this country. We've blessed them since 1947, 1948, more than any other people, more than any other country on the face of the earth. What do we have to show for it? Do we have a better, more godly, more blessed by God nation now, today, in 2018, than we did in 1947, 1948? No, we have gotten nothing but curses, and rightly so. And you think people would stop and take a look and look at the big picture and say, well, gee, if these people are God's chosen people and we've blessed them this much, why do we have nothing to show for it? Why do we have only curses in our nation, not blessings from God?
That's a good point, you know, and here again, the hypocrisy is just amazing. These same bastard Jews, and let's call them what they are. They are exactly what Christ said they are. They are demons, vipers that are here to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's why Christ was murdered by them. He pointed out exactly what they are, called them out right to their faces. They had everybody else duped the same way they dupe everybody here with the media and the money. And Christ didn't, they couldn't buy him off. They couldn't intimidate, they couldn't buy him off. So they had him murdered. So it's the exact same thing. Our people, you know, they've got to understand, these people are our enemies. They've been our enemies from day one. And you make a great point. If that were the case, then how come we're not blessed? Why is it every nefarious thing going on in America, you can trace it back to Jews? All right? This whole DACA thing. Jews pushing it. This whole anti-wall thing. The same Jews who support that gigantic wall that they're building in Israel to separate it from the rest of the Middle East are telling us we don't have need a wall. The same Jews that gunned down Palestinians in the street for just walking there get all upset about anything happening here because they're trying to disarm us. But they got their whole population running around with guns, and they frequently murder people, innocent people, just walking the streets. They're hypocrites, exactly what Christ said they are. You're hypocrites. And they're doing the exact same thing to our people. They're turning us into hypocrites. They are not our friends. They have never shown to be our friends. And it's, you know, people say, well, Dan, based on 1967, the USS Liberty. Okay.
Yes.
This is just a few. This is just the tip of the iceberg for you brain dead out there that are just starting to wake up. I'm sorry that you've come to the game late. Some of us have been studying this stuff for decades, okay? But you're going to have to come up to speed soon. We don't have time to pussyfoot around, and we don't have time to baby feed you much longer. Time's running out. We're at the end. This is the tipping point. So you're going to have to study, study, study. And you might want to go look up the USS Liberty, which was shot, bombed, strafed, and torpedoed for 2 hours by the Israelis trying to pin it on the Egyptians. And Lyndon Baines Johnson, who should be dug up and burned in effigy, by the way, because he was a traitor and a misfit, dirty, and a Jew, crypto Jew, him and his wife, he told the United States Navy admiral that was going to go to the aid of a U.S. naval vessel that 26 or 27 sailors died and 100 and some sailors were wounded. And only because the ship's captain was a phenomenal captain was that ship even able to limp back and actually make it. Lyndon Johnson said, sink it. I don't want to embarrass our friends. Who are our friends? Ted, what kind of friends are it that we're going to sink a naval vessel that they strafed, bombed, and torpedoed with all sailors on board to protect their sorry asses? Ted, where I come from, that's not a friend. That's an enemy. That's not somebody I want to associate with. But we're told that, oh, they're our greatest ally. Really? What kind of ally is that? Then let's fast forward. Let's go to the USS Cole. Oh, well, that was Arabs, Dan. Oh, yeah, just like it was Egyptians that attacked the USS Liberty. No, the USS Cole was Mossad dressed up like Arabs. Okay, on and on and on. Who was behind the bringing down of the Twin Towers in New York City and Building 7, the one that nobody wants to talk about? Gee, who were the dancing people taking film footage of the whole thing happening? Well, wait a minute. If they were on top of a building with the video equipment going before anything happened, do you think they may have known it was going to happen? And they're high-fiving and drinking and clapping and celebrating as the buildings come down. Oh, and they just happened to all be Jews who just happened to end up back in Israel before they could be prosecuted? And the FBI rounded up 200 other Israeli operatives on 9/11? And they just sort of happened to disappear back to Israel? Ted, that's not the sign of a friend. That's an enemy doing their dirty deeds within our government. And again, anybody who is supporting the Israelis over here is a traitor. Let's make that perfectly clear. Anybody supporting the Israelis is a traitor to this Christian constitutional republic. Period. End of story. Don't need any more debate. You support the Israelis, you are an enemy of this nation. Period. And let me add, you're an enemy of Jesus Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach, our Savior. And very soon, you can tell him to your face why you supported his enemies. Enough of this BS that the Israelis are our friends. Oh, no, they're not. They're our enemies. And make no mistake about it. Back to you, buddy.
Well, once again, you put it perfectly. Excellent examples. You know, it's funny, the people who ought to be with us, the most ardent supporters, are brethren who should be with us, standing tall for the country, are the ones most fervently in the camp of Israel. All the people who got riled up, all the George W. Bush voters, and all the lukewarm, watered-down Republican, white yuppie people that I grew up with and went to school with, and all the family members, all the friends. 9/11 happens. Emotions are pumped to go invade the Middle East, start all these wars, get our boys killed yet again. All the people who should be in our corner, they're in the enemy's corner. They have been totally deceived. I'm talking about all the white, middle, upper middle class people, all the yuppie people, all the decent people who go to church and try to do things the right way and think they're doing this and doing that and they're so good. These people, unfortunately, are our biggest foes, our biggest enemies, the first people to spit on us for telling the truth about any of these events, even about the Bible, even about the scriptures. These are the first people to turn their back on us and to spit on us. And you're talking about anyone who goes along with Israel. Well, let's take it one step further. Anyone who's going along with the Jewish mainstream media in this Jewish Parkland, Florida community who's pumping that we need to go and ban all the guns, you guys are just as bad. You guys are in the traitorous enemy camp, and there is going to be nothing good coming out of getting rid of the guns, especially taking away guns from the white law-abiding demographic of this country. No good is going to come from it, and I can only hope that your children, your future progeny, future generations, that they somehow wake up and that they spit on your grave for going along with it. you know, it, you're talking about the founding fathers and the Christian heritage of America. There used to be a day, Dan, where if you said something, even said something cross to someone in passing in public, that guy would grab you, toss you outside, and challenge you to a duel. You would literally have to put your life on the line for saying something to someone. And we've gotten so soft as a society to where people can say and do anything, criminals run wild because they do not fear any sort of justice. We have such a lax, liberal criminal justice system. We have criminals that are emboldened because they no longer fear someone grabbing them, a mob of pitchforks showing up on their doorstep at midnight. They don't fear being grabbed without a trial and being hung because everyone in the town or the community knows they're guilty. This is the road to hell, simply put. This is where all the liberalism, all the weak need, all the go along to get along, this is where you end up, right here. And I don't know what else to say at this point. I hope this is resonating with people and people see this for what it is. But bringing this all back to the recent shooting here, Pastor Dan, it's amazing to me how well organized all the response was, all the vigils, the rallies. They have Debbie Wasserman Schultz showing up at one of these vigils on Friday or Saturday night, leading a chant of something to the effect of ban the guns or get rid of the guns, something to that effect. And all these little metrosexual white males, I take them to be white males, on TV who are talking about how we need to go at Trump, and Trump, you have blood on your hands, and we need to do something because the adults haven't served us well and haven't done right by us. This whole thing, you ought to just be able to take a look at these few videos with how the media has coordinated this and how they're milking this, and realize that this entire ordeal is a giant Jewish scam. And I really don't know what else to say. Over to you, Dan.
Well, I just got a post here from a friend that I think it's on Renz, Jeff Renz's channel, that they have discovered Cruz is a Jew, crypto Jew. I believe he was adopted, so he's got Jewish blood in him. Isn't it funny? Zimmerman, that they said was white, is actually a Mexican, half Jew. So Jews are all over everything. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is another hag Jew, communist. So let's get back to the premise here, okay? When people like Schultz and Schumer and Boxer and Feinstein and all the rest of these Israeli traitors are talking about trying to disarm us, all we have to think about is the Russians, as Lenin, a Jew, Trotsky, a Jew, the leader of the Cheka, a Jew, the leader of the revolution, and where did all the money for the Russian Revolution come from? Jewish banks in New York City, taken through Canada by rail, put on a ship, $20 million in gold bullion, taken over to finance the Russian Revolution. Oh, here we go again. Large amounts of money given to Jews to foment revolution. What do we have in America today? Let's see. Who runs the Federal Reserve? Steve Mnuchin, Jew. Who runs the Fed's Reserve? A Jew. Who runs the Treasury Department? A Jew. Wow. Is there a commonality here? Untold amount of wealth in their hands. They can foment things like through the crypto Jew, George Soros, Black Lives Matter. They've got shekels in their pocket. Then we've got the libtards out there and the people pushing for feminist movements and Antifa and all that. Isn't it funny? They've got shekels in their pockets, too. So here again, it's the same old story. We should not be surprised when hags like Schultz, who should be in prison right now, awaiting her death sentence, by the way. She's committed treason. She's committed murder. All right. Can you say Seth Rich? They will kill their own. Seth Rich was a Jew, too, by the way. So here again, all of this nefarious activity, we have a common maggot behind the rotting wood of the United States. What was once a beautiful building, beautiful wood floors, beautiful wood timbers, and it's falling in, caving in, because the termites have been eating away at the foundation. Those termites have a term for them. They're called Jews. And you know what's funny, Ted? If people actually took the time to study history, you could go get old copies of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. That would require you to read. People don't know how to read anymore. But anyway, if they did, if they actually got enough gumption to pick up an Encyclopedia Britannica, you could read about how the Jews have been kicked out of every country of Europe at least once, many of them twice, over the centuries. And what was their criminality that got them kicked? Oh, the same thing. Debasement of the morals. Let's see. Who owns the porn industry? Jews. Who owns the smut magazine industry? Jews. Who is the top of organized crime in prostitution and drugs? Jews. So, same thing. Corrupt the morals. Who owns Hollywood with all of the trash and the despicable crap that they put out? Here we go again. Jews. Who owns the major media networks that put all the trash on their, quote, regular programming? Here we go again. The Jews. Who wants to disarm the white Christian population so they can slaughter them like they did in Russia? Wasserman Schultz, Feinstein, Jews. My God, Dan. Every time it's these damn Jews. Ted Nugent found the same thing out. So did Mel Gibson and his father. So has a host of other people. The problem is the Jews control the media. So you brain dead morons out there that rely on the mainstream media for your information, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, do you? But people that actually still know how to research, still know how to think for themselves, still know how to go in there and dig and dig and dig until they find the truth. And the truth is testified to by the Spirit. That's what it says in Scripture. But here's a caveat to that. You have to have a Holy Spirit. You have to have a relationship with the living God. If you morons out there that don't think he exists, guess what? You don't have that aid. You don't have that anchor in the storm that the rest of us have. That's why I don't worry about it. You know, Ted, in the past, there's been people say, damn, what you're doing is dangerous. You're putting a stick in the eye of the beast, you know, and it's like, please don't bother me with that. I know damn well that on any given day, I could end my life here, or not me end it, but it might end. I've known that for a long time, ever since I was in the military. My time on this earth is up to the Father. And so is yours, Ted, and everybody out there listening, if they love the Father. That's not what Father told us. He didn't say, I'm going to give you a great big long life that you can just do whatever the hell you want, and there'll be no pain, no suffering, no learning, and it'll just be a walk in the park for you. No, that's not what it says, because this is a short-term experiment. This is a short-term test, people. You were put here from the other side. On the other side of the firmament, you were put down here for a reason. We don't know what that reason is because that part of our memory has been wiped. But you were put down here for a reason. My theory is that we did something wrong. That's why we're on hell. We're in hell right now, down here. All right? We have to come down here and try to fix this mess. And something we did on the other side put us here. And the Father's checking us out. He's testing us. Are you going to get it right this time, people? Are you going to get it right so we can end this nonsense? So we can all go home? Think of what it's going to be like on the other side. Not the misery here, the death, the corruption, the rot. On the other side is our Father, his law, truth, and justice, and there is no evil allowed. Can you imagine the paradise, Ted? Can you imagine the paradise on earth if the righteous men and women would get involved and make a difference? Which is exactly what Christ says in the Scriptures is going to happen when the kingdom comes to this earth. We're not going up there. So you people that want to think you're going to get raptured out of here, I'm sorry, but you got a few screws loose in that head of yours. You're not going to get raptured anywhere. You're here for the duration, people. I hope you understand that. There is no train ticket, a free ride out of here, just as it's getting really, really bad, and you're just going to get a ticket on that train and go on the rapture train up there and just sit and watch while the rest of us suffer. Oh, please. if you fell for that line of bullcrap, I feel sorry for you. Nope, there is no rapture train. There is no ticket. There is no get-out-of-jail-free card. You're here for the duration. And if you don't get off your sorry asses and get involved with the restoration of this earth, you're going to suffer both here and in the hereafter, because there is a great white throne judgment. And by the way, the color white, according to George Lamsa, is a significance of virtue, power, and honor. So when it says your name is written on a white stone, that's where the tradition of putting our names on monuments and graveyards came from. And typically in the old days, what color was the stone? White marble. It was a sign of honor for the deceased. It comes right out of scripture. When it talks about a name engraved in white stone, it's talking about the fact that you are honored. You have power. You have virtue. You don't get your name written in a stone of white unless you do the right things for the right reason. And you people that want to do what you do for political gain or power, or because you're cowards, or because you think you're going to get paid something by these damn Jews and their cheap-ass shekels all made in computers, it doesn't, you know, there's a scripture, Ted, that talks about these people. It says that you were sold into slavery yet again, just like we were in Egypt, yet again, without a price. That means for free. Do you know why it means that? It means because you're going along with these communist Jews for digits in a computer that has no value. Gold and silver has always had value. Real estate has value. Commodities have value. Digits in a computer have no value. And yet you simpletons have sold your soul for digits in a Jew-controlled Federal Reserve System bank. Think about what that means, Ted. Can you just picture standing before the King of Kings and explain why you allowed all of this treason, murder, and mayhem to go on for a fistful of digits in a computer? I wouldn't want to be the person having to stand there to explain that. That's why I do what I do. If it costs me my life, there's a verse in the Old Testament that says it is better to be harmed for doing good than evil. If harm comes to me because I'm trying to do good, well, I'll trust that scripture. It's better for me. I don't really want to go. I'd like to stick around and be here for the finale. I've got many friends. I've got family. I've got children. But you know what? None of them are worth doing evil. None of them are worth getting harmed for doing evil. I'm going to trust the scripture that says that Father watches over those who do his work. The 91st Psalm, the 149th Psalm, the 23rd Psalm, and on and on and on. I'm going to put my trust in that. And if Father wants to turn me over to the wicked one, well, that's his prerogative. He made me. He gave me life. Ted didn't give me life. The listening audience didn't give me life. He gave me life. It's his. He can take it from me anytime he wants. It's not mine. That's what he's trying to get through our thick heads. This life is his. He gave it to you as a gift. What are you doing with it, people? When you stand in front of him, he's going to tell you that. I gave you the gift of life. What you do with that life should be your gift back to me. What are you going to tell him, people? What is your gift back to the King of Kings when you stand in front of him, which means your deeds? You know, the modern-day church world, Ted, tells everybody that works don't matter. You know, that's another lie. That's another grand lie of the 21st century. The modern-day church world lies to the poor sheep. No wonder the sheep don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. They really don't. That's an old farmer's term. They don't know because the preachers are lying to them. Your works do matter. Your works don't save you. No, that's true. But they don't tell you the rest of it. Your works do matter. Your reward depends on your works. You're going to be questioned about your works. Because even the scripture says, he who has no works, his faith, if it doesn't produce good works, is dead. And again, I went off on a tangent, Ted. Sorry about that.
No, it's wonderful. I could sit here and listen to you all day, it seems like. You were talking about a matter, and it got me thinking. You were talking about people selling their soul, in essence, for money, for these digits on the computer screen, the tool of Satan himself to get us to go along with Satan's plan, right? And I was sitting here thinking about if my grandparents or great-grandparents, our ancestors could come back to life for a moment and talk to us and see what was going on in the world, and think about, we've squandered the country. You sit here and think about it. If you really looked at it for what it is, you'd cry at what we've pissed away, what we've squandered, what we've sold our own family and our own future, our own children down the river. For what? Like you said, for what? A meager paycheck? A little dog biscuit and a pat on the head from your friends and your family in this world? We've given this all away for nothing. More depressing than that, we've gone along with Satan and his kids and done evil and turned our back on our Father Yahweh. It's incredible.
We've become idol worshipers, you know, and people, if you don't think that's serious, you need to go back and read your Bibles. And I know reading is something passe. Okay, go get an audio Bible then, or go get a computer game. Maybe you'll learn something then. I don't know. But go look in your Bible, because it tells you very plainly in there about the things that we're talking about here tonight. Okay, so these are not just hearsay things. It's scriptural based. And, you know, I just don't understand, Ted. I really don't. Why it is so difficult for our people to understand that when you give your allegiance and reverence to an idol, that is an abomination to our Father. And you want to know why the United States is cursed, and believe me, it is cursed. That is what we're doing when we put money, or the Jew, or the media, or the government, or people in uniform, or people with some kind of accreditation after their name, when we hold them in higher esteem than the living God, that's idol worship. Now, for those folks who haven't picked up that book in quite a while, there's a phrase in there, it's in the Old Testament, the old parchment, that says that Yahweh is a jealous Elohim God. Jealous. That means he wants to be the center of your universe, not something out on the periphery. He wants to be at the center. In fact, the scripture says that you should be thinking about worshiping and trying to obey Yahweh with the rising in the morning and the laying down at night. That means from the time your sorry ass gets out of bed until your sorry ass goes back to bed, your thoughts should be about him and what he wants from you and what he will do for you. Because he doesn't leave us here alone. There is rewards both here and in the hereafter. But those are not supposed to be what motivates you. It's just like on an earthly family. I know when my children were little, I got such a thrill when they did the right thing because it was the right thing to do. And they didn't do it because they thought they'd get a piece of candy or get to watch a cartoon or get to stay up an hour later. They didn't even ask for anything. They just did it because it was the right thing. Then it was my pleasure to say, let's go down to the Dairy Queen for a Sunday. Or, hey, let's watch a movie together tonight. You can stay up late. You see, it's the same thing. The family is a microcosm of the heavenly the father and the family there. And that's the relationship he's trying to get us to understand. He wants us to do the right things because it's the right thing. We're not supposed to worry about consequences or money. Even Stonewall Jackson one of the most famous generals of the South, said that duty is ours. Do you understand what that means, folks? Duty, duty, honor, integrity, character. Duty is ours. The consequences belong to God. That's a very simple, wise way to say that you do the right thing, just like what Ted's doing and the people at Eurofolk Radio and I try to do and many, many others. You worry about doing the right thing and let our Father take care of the consequences. I can't think of anything simpler than that, Ted, or even more beautiful than that, that the Father, the King of Kings, the Creator, has said, if you'll just focus on doing the right thing, I want to pour out the storehouse of heaven. Can you even begin to imagine, ladies and gentlemen, the gifts that the Father is holding back because we don't deserve them? New technologies for energy, for healthcare, for revitalization of our poor, tired bodies. Who knows? Lifespans might go back to 600, 700, 800 years because that's what we were designed for. All right? Clean air. Not getting up and working for some beast system 7 days a week, 6 days a week from dawn till dusk, and still not being able to pay for what the things you think your family needs. That's not what he has in store for us. Wouldn't you like to be able to get up when the body says get up on any given day and do the things with your family and around your house and maybe go out in the garden? Wouldn't you like to do that, folks? Or do you actually think this Babylonian system that taxes you to death and makes you pay property tax and income tax and state tax and county tax and city tax and road tax and tolls, you actually think that's God's way, huh? And you believe these bureaucrats when they say, well, we don't have enough money. Really? Did you ever hear of the Consolidated Annual Financial Report found out by Mr. Berrien up in New Jersey many years ago? The secret books that the state government keeps with the billions and billions of dollars that they have squirreled away for their little pet projects while they're bilking you to put asphalt down on the potholes that are tearing up your tires and your suspension on your car. Folks, we've been played. We've been lied to about pretty close to everything to keep us the little slaves plugged into the matrix. Keep working, keep paying the taxes, keep fighting in the wars and dying in the wars so that those guys at the top can keep right on going. When are you going to turn back to the Father? Because that's all it takes. When you say, I've had enough of this fake, phony, false Babylonian system, I want the storehouse of heaven. I want clean air, clean water. I want my family to live in sunshine and beauty on a green earth that's not contaminated, not polluted, doesn't have any Monsanto garbage in it, and glyphosate or whatever the hell that stuff is they invented that's poisoning everybody, and chemtrails and all this other horrific diabolical crap that these people are up to. You know, you get as much tyranny as you accept. There's an old saying that says that, and it's very true. You get as much tyranny as you accept. Are you paying attention? When are we going to decide we've had enough of this crap? And this is where I go along with Lieutenant Colonel Roy Potter and Tracy Beans and Jerome Corsi and Destroying the Illusion and many, many other researchers out there. I'll go along with them. We've had enough time here, folks. I know the Q posts are important and people say there's indictments and blah, blah, blah. But I agree with all the rest of them. We've waited long enough. It's time for action. Either you arrest these bastards or get out of the way and let us do it. At least that's how I feel about it, Ted.
Yeah, very well said. I was just sitting here thinking, you know, it just takes baby steps. You got to crawl before you can walk. You got to walk before you can run or sprint. The best thing you can do for people out there, just a small thing. If you're not willing to even say anything, you don't have to go out and do anything. You don't have to go out and, you know, put your life on the line this very instant in some sort of way. Just speaking out. Push back against these people. Push back against the white liberals pumping gun control right now. Push back and do it in a smart, intelligent way. Don't fly off the handles and lose your composure and lose your cool. Nothing good comes out of that. You can still have passion and fire in your tone and voice, but do it in a controlled way. Hit these people with sound logic in the flaws in their thinking about banning semi-automatic guns and semi-automatic weapons. Let's say, for instance, this weekend, the Florida State Legislature, the Federal Congress in Washington, D.C., let's say they passed a semi-auto weapons ban, just like they keep this shaved head girl Emma Gonzalez in Parkland, Florida. She's out at these vigils and at these rallies talking about we need a weapons ban, and all the kids on CNN from the high school. Let's say our legislators passed this yesterday, Sunday night. Let's say the school opened up today or tomorrow. Passing this legislation, this isn't going to stop someone from coming into this school and shooting it up again. These are the things you need to point out to these people. So, you want a semi-automatic weapon ban? Gee, didn't we have one of those from 1994 to 2004? And gee, wasn't there an event in April of 1999? April 19th or April 20th in Boulder, Colorado? The Columbine shooting? Gee, we had a semi-automatic weapons ban then, but yet we still had a mass school shooting. And to boot, wow, these kids had pipe bombs and explosives littered all over the school, laid out ambush style for the big day when they were going to shoot it up and kill all the Christians. These two Jewish kids at Columbine High School asking kids whether they believed in Christ, whether they were Christian, and then killing them when they responded in the affirmative. Gee, why do you want to pass all these bills and do all this stuff? I'd love to see someone with a camera, someone a little cell phone camera, confront these people, these liars on TV, this shaved head girl, Emma Gonzalez. Confront these people. Put it up on the internet. Make a fool out of them. It's not illegal to say things to people and point out the flaws in their thinking and call them out in front of everyone. That's what you need to do. These people feel emboldened that they can use the airwaves to pump their propaganda and wag their weenie in our face and piss all over us and treat us like the lemming slave goyim that we act like, unfortunately, that we confirm. Push back against these people. It's very simple to do. And you're not going to go to jail. You're not going to get arrested. You're not going to do any of this. All it takes is one little crack in that big dam. You guys know what I'm talking about. You've seen it before. Alex Jones going on Piers Morgan and throwing a fit after Sandy Hook. He ended Piers Morgan's career. That guy ended his talk show. He had to resign in shame. These are the kind of things. And guys, if you're not even willing to push back, when you have tools like the internet where you can do this from a distance and you can get it out in front of the masses and anyone can see it around the globe, it's kind of like your friends and family. If you're too scared to put your spouse in their place or put your friends in their place or walk away from bad influences in your life, maybe bad family members, maybe bad friends. I know we all have people we've grown up with, people that we try to be nice to. Some of these people need to be pushed aside, and if you're not willing to do the little things, how can you ever be counted on to do the big things, right? Push back against these people. Push back. Don't let them get away with the crap that they spew. Show a little pushback. Show some spine. Let them know. We think you're a fraud. It's these little things. How do you take down an elephant? By 1,000 blows, one day at a time. One shot at a time. Just keep it up. Keep that pressure on them. A little bit here and there, a little bit here and there, every day. This is a sort of guerrilla warfare, and what we're after is the hearts and minds of all the people who are asleep that should be on our side but aren't because they're asleep. We need to win their hearts and minds, and we need to do things that make sense tactically and strategically to do that. I don't see people pushing back, and I'd like to do it myself, come up with ways to push back, call out the fake news media when they run with these stories about, oh, the shooter's a white supremacist, oh, he's tied to extremist militias, this sort of thing. This news media runs wild, and they do not confirm or fact check or do any of this stuff. And this whole tying him to white supremacist and tying him to wanting a white ethnostate, this is just another example of it. And I don't know what you made of that whole thing here, Dan, with the shooting and them trying to tie him in with white supremacist and this whole kind of thing. But to me, like the day that it happened or even the next day, the morning after when I was hearing these reports and still didn't fully know what had happened, what transpired in Florida, I thought, boy, this is a huge red flag. When they try to tie this shooter to this, you know this thing is a con job. And yep. I guess the story here, Dan, is that we have trolls on our side too, just like the other side does, and they baited the media into running with this unconfirmed fact that he's a white supremacist, and the ADL and Southern Poverty Law jumped on it, and I guess it was right-wing 4chan alt-right trolls who baited the media into running with this. Now, I don't think it was the best choice, because millions of people, hours after some of the first facts, some quote-unquote facts that they heard in the fake news media about the shooters, that, oh, he's a white supremacist. You definitely don't want them to get the wrong idea, because you know how people are. They hear one thing, and then they run with that. And anytime there's an event or a story, the first facts that come out of the gate, that's the impression that people are left with. But you know, baiting the other side into doing stupid things where you can later come back to show them to be faulty and destroy them from a public relations sense, that's a smart thing to do. We need to show these people for the frauds that they are. I've gone on a tangent here, Dan. Please comment or take it in a different direction if you wish.
No, that was good. You're right. Well, it's just interesting. While you were chatting, I saw the Wrens.com, JeffWrens.com, that they have the article up there that Cruz, for sure, his mother is Jewish. Cruz is the name of his adopted parents. He was adopted. And so here again, same MO, we've got a Jew masquerading as the perpetrator. So, and they even talked about the fact that there's like 150,000 Jews in Broward County, big center of Jewishness. The sheriff named Israel Jew. Of course, the media in that area is going to be heavily under Jewish control, like most media, but definitely in Broward County. And it's corrupt as hell. So, I mean, nothing new under the sun. So it's just amazing. But here again, the researchers like yourself and many of the Anons on the Q channels, the 4chan and 8chan, that are doing the hard work, the Tracy Beans, the Colonel Potters, the Jordan Sathers, what's the other guy? Anti-School does some really good work. A guy named Nemos does some really good investigative work. And a lot of these are young people, which I shout out to the young people. A lot of people say, you know, there's no hope, the young people don't care. Now, well, a lot of the best researchers right now that I'm watching are relatively young people. So that's not a good thing to say. Don't count out the young people. They're not all brain dead. It's unfortunate because of the school system. But look at it this way. Even in spite of the despicable school system and how atrocious the public school system is, these people came out of that. So it's up to the individual. And that's why I encourage individuals, as you said, everybody can do something. You know, the person I call a coward is the one that says, well, I can't do anything. No, the hell you can't. Your lips move. So you can speak. You can write a letter. You can type out an email. You can go to a website and vote. You can post something on a channel. You can create a website. You can tell a neighbor. No. There is something you can do, and every one of you should do it. And there was something else I was going to tell that when you were talking that, oh, and it just jumped out of my head. Son of a gun, I hate it when that happens. Oh, my gosh. I can visualize it, but I can't form the words. Son of a gun. Anyway, it'll pop back in later on.
It happens to me all the time. I know the feeling.
Yeah, right. It had something to do with Cruise and the fact that, like you said, it's this MO is the same MO. It's always happening the same ways, and we need to get used to that, and we need to destroy it. We need to expose it for what it is and just keep doing that because we are having an effect, okay? That's the good news. We are having an effect. There's an old saying from the military guys that when your bomber is over the target, that's when you get the most flak. That's how you know you're over the target because the enemy is shooting up the anti-aircraft bullets and cannon like there's no tomorrow. You're over a sensitive target, whether it's a factory, a munitions dump, or whatever. So we're over the target with the Antichrist, communist Jews, and their lackeys amongst our race, all right, because they are trying to condemn free speech. They're trying to create laws to protect the Jews and the Israelis, just like every state passed, as far as I know, every state passed rules saying you can't get, like the Hurricane Irma and the flood in Houston, you can't get disaster relief money if you as a person or your company supports boycotting Israel. Well, the very first thing everybody I told that to said, what the hell does disaster relief in the United States have to do with that nation over there? So there's an old saying that when your enemy is making a mistake, don't interfere. The Jews are exposing themselves for the liars, the hypocrites, the fakes, the frauds that they are, and that they are not our friends. The same time that this is going on, it's exposing these lying preachers who preach the doctrines of devils. What did Christ say to the Jews? Ye are of your father, the devil. You are demons in shoe leather. So, again, the biblical stories are proven true once you get rid of the blinders put on by the modern, quote, Judeo-Christian church system. We call it churchianity. It's a business, just like the mob, okay? The mob or organized crime was a business run by Jews like Bugsy Siegel and Mo Green. They're all Jews and not Italians. People say, well, they were Italians. Well, you know, that's a national thing. We're talking a racial thing. Just because he came from Italy doesn't make him Italian. He's a Jew. And Jews are not white. That's another thing. That's another thing that's got to be straightened out here once and for all. Stop calling Jews white. They're not. Christ himself said that. John the Apostle, in his writings in the Greek language, when you study the Thayer's Greek lexicon, makes it very clear that the apostles and Christ did not consider Jews even of the same. In fact, they said that they sprang from an alien race. That's right out of the Thayer's lexicon, people. That's not me. That's not an identity book. That's right out of the textbook of the Greek language. And so is it true? Well, let's take a look. Do they act like us, Ted? Nope. Nope. They don't look like us. If you examine them closely, they don't look like us. They don't act like us. Their culture's not the same. Their DNA is not the same. It's just like Christ and the apostles said. They are an alien race, and they hate us. They hate Christ. They hate those who follow Christ, and they hate the white race. Ever since the days of Genesis chapter 3, ever since the days of Edom and Esau. It goes back that far. They hate us. And, you know, how that all played out, why it's the way it is, we don't need to explain all that, all right? God the Father put all this in motion. I like the fact that the word logos in the Greek language is translated the word all the time in our English Bibles. And so when I was doing word studies on something else and I came across halagos, which means the word, I looked up the definition. You know what all what else it means, Ted? It's kind of interesting because think of it. Logos is L-O-G-O-S in the Greek. It's where we get our term logic. All right? So logos had two meanings, and it's kind of funny, like so many things. They always interpreted the word, but it also means the plan. So a lot of these modern-day prostitutes called preachers, they'll hold up the Bible and go, "This is the word of God. It is infallible. It is the word of the Almighty." Really? Let's see. The Bible didn't exist until what? Was it about 500 years ago? 400 or 500 years ago when the printing press was invented because only rich people could afford the handwritten copies of scriptures. So that's the word? Or do you think the Father meant the plan was with him from the beginning? Not this thing called the Bible. That came along later on. In fact, think about it. Who created the Bible? The Catholic Church. Yeah, the pillars of honesty, integrity, right? The Catholic Church? Yeah, right. Now, I'm not putting down the scriptures. Don't get me wrong. The sacred writings of the prophets and the apostles, they're all very valuable. But think about it for just a minute. The actual words of the Father were that the plan is of Yahweh. The plan is Yahweh, and the plan was from the beginning. He wasn't talking about this thing that we hold in our hands called a Bible. He's talking about the plan that's being played out on this terra firma called Earth, Eretz in the Hebrew tongue. Eretz. It's being played out, and you're part of it, ladies and gentlemen. It's the plan. It's a sacred plan. And what do you want to have happen during this plan? That you go out as a liar, a traitor, a deceiver, a murderer, a pedophile, an abuser, a thief? Is that how you want to leave? Or do you want to go out as a, what I term, a Rhadamanthine warrior? And Ted, I love when I find new words. I was looking up in an exhaustive Webster's dictionary one day, and I happened to see this word Rhadamanthine jump off the page for some reason. Starts with a capital R. And it comes from the Greek mythology. There was a Greek god whose Greek name is very close to, obviously not the same, but very close to Rhadamanthine, and it's where we get the word. And he was a god of the underworld. However, the word in the English language means to be strictly and uncompromisingly just. And I read that and I thought, holy hell, we've got a word that perfectly describes what every believer should be. And yet I'm finding it in this dictionary at the age of 30 some years old when I found it. I said, I've lived on this earth for 30 some years. I've never heard this word apply to anybody. I've never seen anything written. I've never heard a speaker use the word. And it's a beautiful word to be strictly and uncompromisingly just. You would think it would apply to preachers. You would think it applies to teachers, to parents, to presidents, to admirals, to generals, to police chiefs, to sheriffs. Wouldn't it apply to them? And then I realized the reason I'd never heard it used, sad to say, because nobody deserves that title. Almost nobody. Because we've become that polluted, that degenerate, that sick, lethargic, pathetic sheep that have turned away from the master, seeking gold and things that glitter from the beast. You need to reread Revelation chapters 14 through 18, folks. about what it says of those who got drunk on the delicacies of the beast. Especially in the Greek language, it's even more descriptive, because that's exactly what we have become. We are drunk on the delicacies, the flat screens, the computers, the tablets, the Xbox, the nice cars, the 3,000 square foot home that you don't need, all that furniture, all the trinkets, the delicacies of the beast. We're drunk. You also need to read Revelation about what's going to happen to those drunk people real soon. Real soon. Especially you leaders. Because who's doing the weeping and wailing while Babylon burns? Merchants and government officials. It uses the term kings and princes, which stands for government officials. And who are the most corrupt people today, Ted? Who are the most corrupt people walking this earth right now if it's not government officials, central bankers, and large corporate executives? Are they not some of the most corrupt people walking this earth?
Absolutely. And cocky and with an attitude to boot. Like they're invincible. And boy, do they have something coming to them, don't they?
Oh, amen. And I can only hope the large number of CEOs that have recently resigned is a sign that there are white hats at work off the radar, so to speak. We don't know for sure yet, because those of us who follow the Q posts and the different reports that are coming in from a lot of truthers, we're still holding on to the hope that these are the efforts of good guys, because a lot of congressmen have resigned or said they would not run for office again. We've got a lot of CEOs who have turned in resignations. We've got some people that have disappeared all of a sudden, all of them culprits, all of them guilty of major crimes, many of them pedophiles. So we're still holding out hope, but we're getting tired of waiting, all right? Because the fact that they disappear doesn't mean anything was done to them to commit justice. It could be they're sitting in some island over in the South Pacific somewhere and riding out the storm. That doesn't mean punishment. We want to see these people punished, not just disappeared, because going off somewhere like that, sipping on Mai Tais under a tiki hut in the warm South Pacific sun is not my idea of punishment. So just the fact that these people say, I'm going to step down and then be out of the limelight, so to speak, no, that's not good enough. These people have committed crimes. There's children who are now dead, real children, not staged events, real children that have been sold as sex slaves, or their bodies used in rituals, or their organs harvested and sold. All right? Real people, men and women, died. Real crimes by these satanic pieces of dog meat. All right? They need to be punished, not just allowed to walk away. No, 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 no. No, those days are gone. The days of repentance are over. They've hung on this long. They need to be rounded up and punished. And the ones that got away and faked their deaths, which I think a lot of these so-called rich people, like the two up in Canada, the man and wife that were ultra billionaires tied in with the Clintons and everything else, found in their apartment, they hung themselves. Are you kidding me? That one has the idea of a fake death all over it. So again, why? Because they were going to get ready to be brought on to testify against the Clintons. So, geez, isn't that convenient? They killed themselves. Let's see, they've got multiple billions with a B, billions of dollars. Why in the hell would they kill themselves? Well, it would be convenient that they're not here to testify, wouldn't it? So, no, unless you can show me the body and I run the DNA test on it, no, they're still around here somewhere, and we need to go find them. And we got the people that can find them, and we're going to find them. We're not going to rest till every criminal pays the price. That's our job, Ted. That's what Father put the Adamic man here to do, to bring law and order to the chaos of this world. And this whole world is in travail, exactly as the scripture says. The whole world is in travail, waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested. Manifested. What are we sitting around waiting for? We were given the keys of authority on this earth, and we've allowed the Edom Esau Jew to usurp our position on this earth. We are the ones that were put here to administer justice. There is no justice because, take a look, Ted, how many white Christian males do you see that are involved with any of the crap going on today? Very many? Almost none. Every picture I see coming out of Washington, the room's full of mixed race, minorities, women, almost zero white Christian males. The very people that Yahweh put here, the Adamic people, those that show blood in the face and can blush, his sons and daughters, but particularly his sons. Sons came first, folks. And I know a lot of ladies, you take offense to this, but, you know, that's too bad. Adam was put here first. If you don't like it, too bad. Take it up with the Father. It was his plan, right? Logos, his plan. Adam first. Lady came back. She came along later. She had a significant part to play in Adam's fall, by the way. And a lot of men today are crying crocodile tears over what's happened to them with certain relationships with women in their life. So nothing new under the sun, is there? But the point of it is Adam was put here first. He is the Son of God, which is an Aramaic expression, meaning he shows the characters of God: truth, honesty, integrity, forthright, inventor, creator, healer. That's what we're here for. And the sooner we get back to our business and the sooner we decide that it's time to put an end to this nonsense that's going on and stop waiting around for the beast to fix the beast. That's not going to happen. It's got to be the Adamic men, the white men who are Radamanthine, like Gideon, they're warriors and willing to fight. And they're going to work together as a team, and we're going to go after the bad guys. That's when things start changing, Ted.
Absolutely. Hey, I hate to stop it here. This has been a great show, great conversation. I want to thank you for being with me. As always, Pastor Dan, it's a pleasure and my honor. Thanks for being with me. We are right at the time limit for my slot here on EFR. Once again, folks, this is Ted Midward and Pastor Dan Johns. You are listening to EurofolkRadio.com. This has been A Stranger in My Own Land. We air every Monday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. I want to thank you all for being with me. May Yahweh richly bless all you listeners out there. Pastor Dan, may Yahweh bless you. Thank you for being with me. Everyone out there, have a good night. Bye-bye.